gently punched him in the thigh, and he feigned pain. I wanted him to be my boyfriend, too. But I knew even then that I needed baby steps. I wanted the slow transition. I didn't want to lose a single precious bit of him. Now, Wednesday, November 8th. Sean is on the couch waiting for me when I come home after midnight. Other than my hike with Elliot, I had a crap day. Knowing what I had to do, but avoiding it anyway, I went into work around 3 in the afternoon. A terrible decision. I ended up delivering 2 terminal prognoses and halting chemo on a 3rd because the little girl couldn't tolerate another dose, even though her cancer could. I'm in a mental place where I know I'm doing good, but it just doesn't feel like it. And seeing Sean on the couch intensifies the self-flagellation. "Hey, babe." He pats the cushion next to where he sits. I shuffle over, falling down beside him. Not really onto him or in any sort of snuggly position. For one, I'm in scrubs and want a shower. And 2, it just feels weird to lean into him. There's this invisible force field there, repelling me. As if reading my mind, Sean says,
"We probably need to talk."
"Yeah, probably do." He takes my left hand in both of his, massaging my palm with his thumbs. The touch is distracting because it's wonderful and reminds me of all the other wonderfully distracting things Sean can do with the rest of his body.
"I'm pretty sure you're not happy," he says.
I turn and look at him. It takes a few seconds for his face to come into focus because he's so close and I'm so tired. But when it does, I can see how much this is actually wearing on him. Just because he didn't talk about it didn't mean he wasn't thinking about it. Sean and I are exactly alike. "Are you?" I ask. Shrugging with one shoulder, he admits,
"Not really."
"Can I ask you something?" His smile is genuine.
"Of course, babe."
His answer won't change how I feel, but I have to know. "Do you love me?" His smile straightens, and he searches my expression for a few breaths.
"What?"
"Do you love me?" I ask again. "Seriously." I can tell he is taking it seriously, and I can tell that he's not so much surprised that I asked as he is surprised at his own instinctive answer. "It's okay," I say quietly. "Just answer."
"I think I need the word between like and love, which means..."
I hold her in great esteem. I say with a smile, "Never in the history of time has a breakup been so gentle. There's barely a ripple in the water. So maybe we were barely together enough to even break."
"Do you love me?"
he asks, brows pulled together. "I'm not sure."
"Which means no,"
he says, smiling. "I love you as a friend," I say. "I love Phoebes. I love how easy this is, and how little it requires of me right now." He's nodding. He gets it. But trying to imagine this, I gesture between us, for the rest of my life? I say, kissing his forehead. Sort of depressing. It feels like we're both headed down the path of least resistance.
"Mace."
"Hmm.
Isn't the path of least resistance for you the one with Elliot?"
he asks. I go still, thinking of the best answer here. In some ways, yeah, of course falling into Elliot's bed would be the easiest route. And Sean knows it. There's no reason not to be honest there. But there's a part of me that believes Elliot and I were always only meant to be best friends. I was so scared of taking that next step with him when we were teens, and as soon as we did, it fell apart. "We have history," I say carefully. "Not bad history, for the most part, but he fucked up, and I fucked up, and we haven't really discussed that."
"Why not?"
"God, the most simple, obvious question." "Because..." I start. "Because, I don't know. That time in my life was really hard, and I made some bad decisions that I don't really know how to explain. Apparently, I'm also mostly dead inside and not really great with expressing the emotions." He sits up, looking at me earnestly.
You know what? If Ashley came home and was totally clean and said that to me, Sean, I made some bad decisions. I don't know how to explain them. I think that would be enough.
Really? I ask. He nods.
I miss her.
I wrap my arms around him, holding him against my chest. I don't think Sean has ever cried about Ashley leaving, or about the very real possibility that she'll never come back, or the even more horrible likelihood that the doorbell will ring someday and it will be her asking for money, or even worse, that there will be a policeman there telling Sean that she's gone for good. Stay my friend? I ask.
Yeah.
He whispers, pressing his face into my neck.
Yeah, I need that too.
I move out a few days later. It really just entails me packing up the two suitcases I brought here a few months ago and moving about 6 blocks away. For less than $700 a month, I'm renting the spare bedroom at Nancy Eaton's place. She's a physician on the unit, and her daughter just left for college back east. It's a temporary situation. Not because Nancy hasn't offered the room indefinitely, but because it feels that way. I own a house in Berkeley and could easily sell it and buy a place in the city, but even the thought feels like a betrayal. I could rent out the house and afford to rent my own place in the city, but that would require me going through all of my parents' things, and I'm not ready for that either.
You're a mess,
Elliot says on the other end of the line after I've skimmed through the details of what to do with the Berkeley house. He has no idea. I haven't even told him I ended things with Sean. If Elliot knew that Sean and I broke up, he would come to the city immediately and stare me down until I relented, stretching to kiss him. Sean is the only barrier. He's the buffer, giving me time to think. I don't want Elliot to swoon me into falling in love with him again or to press me to make a decision. I need time. I hear something crash in the background, and he mumbles a frustrated, "Shit, what was that?" I ask.
I just knocked over a pot in the sink. I should do dishes.
You should.
How's Sean?
He asks. The subject change is so abrupt it catches me off guard. Good, I say, adding without thought, I think. I feel the way Elliot goes still on the other end.
You think?
I deflect. I've been busy.
Are you being evasive with me?
No, I say, wincing as I search for the best half-truth. I look around my new bedroom, like the right answer will materialize on the wall somewhere. I just haven't seen him much the past few days.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
He asks.
This will be your first one together, right?
Fuck. I think I work.
You think?
He asks again, and it sounds like he's eating.
Aren't resident schedules mapped out years in advance?
Yeah, I say, pinching the bridge of my nose. I hate lying to him. I was going to trade, so I didn't have to work Christmas, but I haven't gotten organized about it. I'll probably be off. Elliot pauses, probably because he knows I'm lying and he's trying to figure out why.
Okay, so you have plans or not?
Sean and Phoebe are going to his parents' place. I hesitate. Holding my breath. I'm not. I expect him to poke at this, to make some sort of what-does-that-mean investigation, but he doesn't. He just clears his throat and says,
Okay, so you're coming here. I'd better do these dishes before then.
Then. Wednesday, July 12th, 11 years ago. The Healdsburg summer had turned from the warm, humid hum of bees, berries, and sunshine to the brittle creaking of drying up creeks and unremitting heat. As we passed through the days, it seemed like we started to move slowly too. Nowhere was cool enough, except for the river or the closet. But even our blue-starred sanctuary had started to feel claustrophobic. Elliot was so tall, he seemed to take up the entire length of it. And at nearly 18, he was vibrating with sexual intensity. I felt entirely too full of nervous energy trying not to touch him. We would spend the mornings roaming the woods near the houses, and the afternoons walking down the road or biking into town for ice cream, but we always ended up back in the closet anyway, lying on the floor, staring up at the painted stars. "School's starting soon," I said, glancing over at him. "You excited?" Elliot shrugged.
"Sure."
"You like your classes at Santa Rosa?" He looked up at me, brows furrowed.
"Why are you asking about this now?"
I'd just been thinking about it, about school starting in the fall and getting closer to finishing high school, about what he and I would do when we were done, and if we'd end up living closer to each other. Living with each other. "Just thinking about it, that's all," I said.
"Yeah, I guess I'm excited to be that much closer to finishing," he said. "And the classes at SRJC are fine. I wish I'd decided to come down to Cal for a few days a week instead."
"You had that option?" I asked, shocked. He shrugged, an obvious yes. "Are you going to your fall formal with Emma?" I asked, returning to doodling in my notebook.
"Macy, what?"
He looked bewildered and then laughed sharply.
"No."
"Good."
"Do you want to go with me?"
he asked. "You want me to go to a school dance with you?"
"No? Yes? After all our talk of the right way to blend our weekend lives with our weekday lives, I'm not sure what the right answer is,"
he said, wincing.
"But if you don't go with me, I probably won't go."
"Really?" I asked, heart pounding. "Because I don't want to go and get the death glare from all the skanks who love you, but I don't want you to go and get ogled without me to glare at them either." He shook his head, laughing.
"It's not like that."
"So Emma doesn't email you all the time anymore?"
"Not really."
"Lies."
"She doesn't."
He held my gaze steadily.
"I'm not into her. She figured it out."
I gave him a coy flutter of my lashes. "It's not that I'm jealous."
"Of course not."
Just then, his phone buzzed, and he looked at it, read a text, and then shoved it back in his pocket. He looked very guilty. "That was from Emma," I guessed.
"Yes."
He picked at non-existent lint on his pants.
"It's like the universe wants me to look like a liar right now."
"What did she say?"
"Nothing interesting."
He laughed at my skeptical expression.
"I swear, she never texts me."
"If it's not interesting, why won't you tell me?" He eyed me.
"She just asked to hang out."
"That's it?"
"Yep."
"Well, then hand me your phone. I'll tell her you're busy." He smirked.
"Will you include the part where you're acting insanely jealous?"
I rolled onto my back and closed my eyes. "Whatever."
"Or we could take some pictures of your boobs and accidentally text them to her."
"Jesus Christ, give me the phone." I reached for it, but his long monkey arm kept it easily away from me, and I ended up falling on top of him instead, my boobs completely in his face. He made a muffled, happy sound and laughed out a string of unintelligible words, totally pushing his face into my chest. I screamed, scrambling back and pushing at his chest to get away. "Pervert!" Elliot grabbed my waist and flipped me over as he sat up, pulling me backward into his lap and tickling me with his crazy long fingers, digging into my ribs. I gasped and cackled, squirmed as he tickled and laughed, and held his arm around my waist until he rolled over onto me. He pinned me gently. His hips fit perfectly between my legs. We both froze, out of breath, staring at each other. I was 17, but I'd never felt something like this before. He was hard, pressing right up against me. The mood was suddenly completely different from the wrestle-tickle fest of 1 minute before. Elliot glanced down at my mouth and then back up to my face. I wanted to say something, to joke about the wood in his pants, anything, but my throat felt tight, my face burning. With one elbow propped by my head, he whispered a quiet, "Sorry," and began to climb off me. I trapped him with my leg around his thigh, and his eyes flew back to mine. "Stay," I whispered. "I think." It might have been my subconscious saying it because I really didn't want him to get up. I was obsessed with what was under those buttons on his jeans. And more than that, I wanted to know if... Well, I wanted to know what could happen. He swallowed audibly.
Okay.
I rolled my hips up, watching as his mouth fell open and his eyes fell closed. Elliot shifted forward and back, pressing the solid length of himself against me, and did it again, and again. His breath was harder, puffing my hair off my neck, and then his hand gripped my leg, and he held his breath as we started grinding in earnest. Together. My body was all instinct, chasing something familiar just in the distance. Oh my God, what were we doing? I ran my hands down his back. If I overthought it, I would ruin it. This was Elliot. This was my Elliot. I made fists around his t-shirt, thought about the weirdest things like how his weight felt over me, and that I wanted to kiss him but didn't want to turn my attention away even a little from the feeling building inside me. And then I spun into a strange loop of wondering whether I was imagining this. We were having sex with our clothes on. He was so quiet, although I guess I was quiet too because I was listening so intently for any clue as to what he was thinking. I needed more. I needed him. I'd never felt that sort of weighted heat before, not even when I was thinking about him by myself. It was a rush all over my skin, and that heavy need low in my belly. The warmth of his mouth landing on my neck pulled a tiny, helpless sound from me. He wasn't sucking or licking, just pressing his mouth there, putting his breath that much closer to my ear so I could hear his reaction in every sharp exhale. He let out a low, growling sound, and I pressed up into him, grinding, so close. I heard the sound I made, heard the tight plea for faster come tearing out of me. With a strong grip, Elliot stopped me with a hand on my hip.
Shit, he said. Wait, shit.
Suddenly he was pushing away, standing. I sat up with fumbling words on my lips, but Elliot was already out the door. What had just happened? Did he just realize what I'd started and freaked out? In the end, did Elliot really want to be my boyfriend, or was he wrong about it all? I careened headlong into panic. This is how it starts. This is how the friendship goes from perfect and best friend ever to nothing but weird, dirty looks across the yard. I sat in the closet alone for an hour, staring at the pages of whatever book I'd slid from the big bookcase and not reading a single word. I would count to 1,000, and then I would go to his house and apologize. 1, 2, 3, 28, 29, 213.
What are you reading?
His voice came from the doorway, but instead of walking in and flopping down next to me, he lingered there, leaning against the frame. Hi, I said too brightly, eyes looking anywhere but at his. I noticed he had changed his clothes. My face flamed hot, and I looked down, staring at the book in my hands. The letters of the title slowly swam into a single word, and I pointed at it lamely. I started Ivanhoe. No D. When I looked up, confusion flickered across his face like a blink, and he stepped inside.
Really?
Yeah, I said slowly, watching him stalk into the room. His lip turned up in a half-teasing smile. Why do you say it like that? You've read this about 50 times.
It's just that it looks like you're already about halfway through it.
Scratching his temple, he added quietly,
That's impressive.
I blinked down to the page I'd randomly opened. Oh. It was tense and thick between us, and it made my chest hurt. I wanted to ask him if I embarrassed him or... Crap, did I hurt him?
Macy,
he started, and I knew that voice. That voice was a let-me-down-easy voice. I tried to laugh, but it came out as a gasp, going for casual but missing by about a mile. I am so mortified, Elliot. Seriously, I am so sorry. Let's not talk about it. Elliot nodded, his eyes on the floor.
Sure.
I'm sorry I did that. Okay, I whispered to my lap.
What? Macy, no.
It will never happen again, I swear. I was just playing around. I know I've been all, let's not be together because that could ruin things, and then I went and did that. I'm so sorry. He pulled a book off the shelf, and I returned to Ivanhoe, starting from the beginning now, and read for 2 hours, but hardly understood a word. I blamed it on my state of mind. The idea that I might have hurt him, or embarrassed him, or made him angry, ate at me like a drop of acid in my gut. It grew and gnawed at me, and eventually had me so twisted inside that I felt like I might be sick. "El?" He looked up, eyes softening immediately.
"Yeah?"
"Did I hurt you?" A corner of his lip pulled up in a smile as he fought a laugh.
"No."
I exhaled for what felt like the first time in a few hours. Okay, good. I opened my mouth and closed it again, not sure what else to say. He put his book down and moved closer.
You didn't hurt me.
He searched my eyes, waiting.
Do you get what I'm telling you?
I watched as his eyebrows slowly lifted, and then he smiled that sneaky, sexy smile. You mean you... I made a circular motion with my hand, and he laughed.
Yeah, I...
He mimicked the motion, eyes teasing. My heart became a victorious monster in my chest, thrashing to come out. I had made him come.
I was trying to make sure you went first, he admitted in a low voice, but the sound you made when you asked me to move faster...
He swallowed, lifting a shoulder in a silent, oh well. Oh, I stared up at him, watching him fight the heated blush. I'm sorry.
Macy, don't be sorry. I'm telling you it was sexy.
He looked at my lips, and his expression grew serious again.
It's hard for me sometimes that we aren't together. I never know where the lines are. I want to cross them all the time. We've kissed and touched, but then we'll go back to being just friends, and it's confusing. What we did today, it didn't even feel like enough for me.
He held his hands up, eyes wide.
I don't mean you should do more, just that I want it all with you. I think about it all the time.
I thought about how much I wanted that, too, and how earlier I wanted so much more than his body over mine, our clothes between us. I would have given him everything today. And still, the words that came out were, "But I would die without your friendship." He smiled and leaned over to kiss my cheek.
I would too.
Now, Thursday, November 23rd. Elliot's building is narrow. A faded turquoise stucco, and must have once been a beautiful Victorian before it was sloppily chopped up into 4 cramped apartments. The front door opens to a narrow hall on the right, and a steep flight of steps leading to the upstairs apartments. Elliot lives in number 4. Upstairs and to the right, he said. Each stair squeaks beneath my boots. His front door is flat brown, and before it is a thin doormat with a Dickinson quote, "The soul should always stand ajar." I lift my fist and knock. Is it possible I recognize the weight of his footsteps and the rhythm of his walk? Or is it that I know he's the only one inside, because I'm early? Either way, my pulse accelerates so that by the time he turns the knob and swings the door open, I feel lightheaded. Sometime in the past decade, Elliot figured out how to manage his hair and dress himself. He wears black jeans and a well-loved, either honestly or artificially, dark denim shirt rolled to his elbows. His feet are bare. Bare feet. Elliot's apartment. Inside there somewhere is Elliot's bed. If I'm not careful, I won't even go home tonight. Holy shit, I'm a mess.
Macy,
he says, pulling me into a hug and drawing me inside with one arm around my shoulders. When he moves away, shutting the door behind me, the smile I see on his face could power a small city.
You're here. Here in my apartment.
Bending, he kisses my cheek, chastely.
Your face is so cold.
I walked from Bart. It's chilly outside. Heat radiates from the point where his lips pressed against my skin. And I put down the pie I brought so I can shrug out of my jacket. He pulls back a little, surprised.
You didn't drive?
I'm not a fan of cars. I say, smiling. He takes my coat, quiet at this.
I could have picked you up.
Pressing a palm to his chest, I whisper, you live 6 blocks from the station. I'm fine.
I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
He shakes his shoulders a little, as if loosening up.
I'm going to try to be cool about this, about tonight. I will probably fail.
I laugh, handing him the pecan pie I bought this morning. It's not your mom's recipe, sadly. Are they coming down? He shakes his head and then tilts it, beckoning me deeper inside. I follow him through a tiny living room into an even tinier kitchen.
They're going over to Andreas' future in-law's place up in Mendocino. We didn't want the entire Petropolis clan to descend on them. His fiancée Else is an only child, and I don't think they'd know what to do with all of us. It's just Mom, Dad, Andreas, and Alex headed up there.
Who's coming today? I ask, watching him slide the pie onto the counter. He's managed to set up everything he needs in the small space, and it's meticulous despite the size. Elliot turns, leaning back against the counter, gripping it gently. The shirt stretches across his chest, spreading open at the collar, revealing the edge of his collarbone, the hint of chest hair. My heart punches me from the inside.
My friend Desmond,
he says, and reaches one hand to scratch his chin.
And Rachel.
I freeze, staring wide-eyed at him. Instinctively, I look down to what I'm wearing and then back up at him. Rachel is coming? He nods, watching me carefully.
Will that make you uncomfortable?
I'm trying not to react too much outwardly, but I feel my brows pulling down, setting a frown on my forehead. I don't think so.
That sounds an awful lot like a question.
He says quietly. Pushing off the counter, he takes 2 steps over to me.
I should have mentioned that. She doesn't have local family or very many local friends.
I look around the room we're standing in. Did she live here with you?
No,
he says.
But she stayed here a fair amount.
Oh. I look at the stove and see images of this unknown Rachel standing there, scrambling eggs in her underwear while Elliot showered. I picture him pouring coffee for her after, kissing her bare, pale shoulder. I wonder if this burning jealousy is how he felt seeing me with Sean and knowing I slept in the same bed as he did. Let him touch me in ways Elliot had only started to. Looking up at him, I say, I'm trying not to have a fit about your ex-girlfriend coming over today. Elliot lifts one shoulder.
I understand. I might not have planned this so well.
It wasn't intentional to have us both here to make me feel jealous. Not even a little.
I swear it wasn't.
One look at his face, and I believe him. Elliot has occasionally been oblivious about how other girls in his life affected me, but he's not cruel. Nodding, I look down at the floor. Does she know who I am?
Yes.
Another thought occurs to me. Does she know I'll be here? He hesitates, and guilt spreads in a flush up his neck.
Yes.
So she knew, but I didn't? Elliot, seriously? He lifts a hand, scratching the top of his head.
I wanted you to come.
His eyes go warm and soft, the way they do when he feels urgent about something.
I really, really wanted you to come, and I didn't want her to be alone today. But I worried if I told you that you'd back out.
I probably would have. Nothing sounds more awkward than a holiday meal with Elliot's ex-girlfriend. Does she think we're back together?
I don't know what she thinks,
he says.
But it's sort of moot, isn't it?
He watches me carefully.
You're engaged.
Guilt slices sharply through me, sending a jolt of pain to my ribs. I'm not ready to tell Elliot that I'm single, but I'm not okay letting him think I'm being chronically emotionally unfaithful either. Things there are complicated. He seems to marinate in these words for a few beats before reaching for my hand, tugging it.
Come on, let me give you the tour.
The living room is longer than it is wide, and at the narrow end is a tall leaded glass window looking out onto a surprisingly beautiful backyard. There are fig trees, plum trees, and a tiny lush lawn, a rarity in the Bay Area.
The lawn is fake,
he explains.
The owner is insistent that we keep this outdoor space.
I look around the living room at the bookcases that span from the floor to the ceiling, with a sliding ladder connected to the upper lip. His couch is a vibrant blue and clean, with bright multicolored throw pillows. On the other end of the room, closer to the front door, he has placed a folding card table and set it with a linen tablecloth, placemats, and a tiny centerpiece of gourds and cranberries. I must have walked right past it when I came in, so excited and nervous I didn't even notice. Your place is so nice, I whisper, tucking my hair behind my ear. Elliot watches it slide forward again anyway and swallows. He probably knows I wore it down for him. Tell me about your novel.
High fantasy,
he says, looking around at his bookshelves. Then he looks back at me and his eyes shine with restrained amusement.
There are dragons.
So you're writing porn? I joke, and he bursts out laughing.
Not exactly.
That's really all you'll give me? Smiling, he takes my hand again.
Let's finish the tour.
Through a door on the other side of the living room from the kitchen is a tiny hallway. To the left is his bedroom. To the right is his bathroom. The bathroom has a small tub and no shower. Just a smooth hose attached to the faucet and hanging limply downward, a neck bent in defeat. You don't have a shower, I say, walking back out and feeling the sudden intimacy of being in his space. It's all so quintessentially him, sparse furniture other than floor-to-ceiling shelves packed with books. Elliot watches me as I lean against the hallway wall. The space is tiny, and he seems to fill it with his height and the solid width of his chest. I don't know if I could handle only having a bathtub, I babble.
I call it a shath,
he says. That sounds dirty. I'm staring at his chest, but hear the smile in his voice.
I think that's why I call it that.
He takes another step closer.
It still feels surreal to have my own place. Like it's some small miracle that I live here alone. It's so different from how I grew up.
Do you like living alone? I ask. He hesitates for the duration of 3 pounding heartbeats in my ear.
How honest do you want me to be here?
I look up at him. Oh, I think what's coming will probably wreck me, but I ask for it anyway. I always want you to be honest.
Okay,
he says.
In that case, I like living alone, but would rather live with you. I like sleeping alone, but would rather have you in my bed.
He reaches up, running a finger over his lip, thinking about his next words, and his voice comes out lower, quieter.
I like having friends over for Thanksgiving, but would rather it just be the two of us doing our first Thanksgiving as a couple, eating turkey off the bone, cuddling on the floor together.
In our underwear, I say without thinking. His first reaction to this is quiet shock, but it slowly melts into a smile that heats my blood, sets something simmering beneath my skin.
You said things are complicated, huh?
I'm saved from my crumbling resolve to keep quiet about Sean when there's a knock on the door behind him. Elliot stares at me, some urgent light in his eyes, as if he knows I'm about to tell him something important. I lift my chin to the door after we've stood there staring at each other for nearly 10 silent seconds. You should probably get that. With a small growl of defeat, he turns and opens the door to let the other two guests in. Desmond enters first. He's shorter than Elliot, but thick with muscle, with smooth, dark skin, and a smile that seems permanently fixed in his eyes. He hands Elliot a bowl with a colorful salad inside and claps him on the back, thanking him for inviting him. Rachel steps in next, but I'm distracted from her entrance by Desmond coming over to me, introducing himself in a thick Aussie accent.
I'm Des. Nice to meet you.
Macy, I say, shaking his hand and adding awkwardly, "Yes, so glad we're finally meeting." In truth, I have no idea how long Elliot's known him. My mouth feels dry, hands clammy. I look up and find Rachel staring at me. She blinks away, smiling tightly at Elliot as she waits for an introduction.
"Rachel?"
Elliot says, guiding her forward.
"This is Macy."
She has short dark hair, bright blue eyes, and a dusting of freckles across the bridge of her nose and cheeks. When she smiles this time, it looks at least partly genuine and reveals a set of bright, even teeth. She's completely lovely. "Hi, Rachel." I reach out, and she returns the handshake, limply. "It's really nice to meet you," she says and smiles again. The words are out before I realize what I'm doing. "Thanks for coming." As if I've been here a million times. As if I live here. As if I'm hosting. She turns to Elliot, her eyes tight again. He ducks, giving her a little reassuring smile. My chest twists in jealousy and possessiveness. I don't like their silent exchange. I don't like the feeling that they have a past, a rhythm, an unspoken language. "Where should I put this?" she asks, lifting a canvas grocery bag with a few bottles of wine inside.
"Fridge,"
Elliot says, squeezing her shoulder and giving her another lingering, encouraging look before releasing her and returning to my side. Rachel disappears, and Elliot glances at Dez, who shakes his head a little when she's gone.
"She's all right, mate,"
Dez says quietly.
"Onward."
And then he turns to me, unleashing the grin.
"And you, here you are, in the flesh."
I deflect the possible conversation with a question. "How do you two know each other?"
"Rugby,"
Dez says. My laugh comes out louder than I expect it to, and Dez's eyes widen with thrill.
"I don't know you, Macy, but I think we're going to be best friends. Hey!"
Elliot protests, laughing. Returning his attention to me, Dez adds,
"Actually, he's really quite good."
"No way," I say, biting back a grin as I look up at Elliot in all his bookish glory. "This guy?
Rugby? Come on,"
Elliot says, giving me a playfully wounded look. "I just remember watching you learn to skate," I say. Desmond's eyes narrow.
"I skate."
A loud cackle bursts from me, and Elliot pulls me into a gentle headlock, growling,
"Skateboard, you menace,"
into my hair. We wrestle for a second and then stop in unison, looking up at the sound of still silence. Rachel is standing just inside the door from the kitchen, holding an open bottle of wine. Dez's eyes flicker between her and Elliot. "Does anyone want some wine?" she asks. "Or just me?" Dez lets out a delighted laugh at this, thinking she's being funny, but Rachel remains unsmiling, tilting the bottle to her lips and taking a few deep swallows. She pulls the bottle up, wiping her mouth with the back of her hand. Elliot slowly releases me from the headlock, straightening his shirt while I smooth down my hair. I feel like we've just been busted for some mildly criminal behavior. Here we are, standing in his Spartan living room with this stark truth laid out before us. We've never dealt with fallout before. The messiest parts of our lives have always been compartmentalized to the school week, or kept private for a decade. I have no idea how he'll react.
"Rich,"
he says quietly.
"Come on."
It's a gentle chastisement I can't imagine him ever delivering to me, but still there's a seduction there, a reassurance that feels a little slippery, too intimate. "Come on, what?" she says.
"I thought you wanted to do this,"
he says. Turns out it's not as easy as I expected. Why on earth would she think this would be easy? "I don't need to stay," I start to say, but both Dez and Elliot quickly jump in.
"No, no, no,"
Elliot says, turning to me.
"Don't be silly,"
Dez says. "It's fine." I look at Rachel, who is looking at me with such a flat fury, I know exactly what she's thinking. I'm not fine at all. "You did such a number on him," she says quietly.
"Rachel,"
Elliot says, voice low and warning.
"Don't."
"Don't what?" Her eyes turn to his face, Have you guys talked yet? Does she have any idea? Dez seems to find a reason he needs to jog to the bathroom at this precise moment. And I'm immediately jealous that he can just split, and I have to stand here while the awkward shrapnel rains down on us. But at the same time, I want to know what she thinks I need to hear. Any idea about what? I ask him. Elliot shakes his head.
We aren't doing this now.
She answers, leaning against the doorway to the kitchen.
How much you fucked him up. How no one...
Rachel!
Elliot's voice is a blade cutting through the room. I've never, ever heard him use that tone before, and it sends goosebumps down my arms. I continue to look at him, and it takes monumental effort to not fall apart thinking about what I'm missing here. I know what my life looked like after we split, but I couldn't bear to think about his, too. I'm pretty sure we fucked each other up, I say. I think that's what we're trying to fix, isn't it? I look back to Rachel. None of this is your business, though.
It was my business for 5 years, she says.
5 years? That's how long I had, too.
And it was really my business for at least one. What the fuck does that mean?
Elliot reaches up, scrubbing his face.
Do we have to do this?
No.
Rachel looks at him, and then at me, and then moves across the room to pick up her purse and walks out the door. Then, Friday, August 25th, 11 years ago. Summer vacation ended on a scorching day in August. Dad, Elliot, and I packed up the car, and then Elliot shuffled conspicuously to the side, waiting for our customary goodbyes. This was the fourth time we'd done this, the parting of ways after a summer of long afternoons together, but it was by far the hardest. Everything had changed, as it had always been with us, 2 steps forward, 2 steps back. We hadn't kissed again, and we certainly hadn't spent any more time grinding on the floor. There was a new tenderness there. His hand would find mine while we read. I would doze off on his shoulder and wake with his fingers tangled in my hair and his body loose with sleep beside me, my leg thrown over his hip. It felt finally like we were together. Dad seemed to sense it too, and after closing the hatch to his new Audi wagon with a firm click, he smiled tightly at us and walked back into the house.
We should talk about it,
Elliot said quietly. He didn't really have to explain what he meant.
Okay.
He took my hand, leading me to the shade between our homes. There we sat, our backs to the side of the house, and our hands interlocked in a patch of grass beneath my dining room windows, out of view of anyone in either house.
We fooled around, he whispered, and we touched like... We're more than friends.
I know.
We talk to each other and look at each other like we're more than friends, too.
He trailed off, and I looked up, catching the tenderness in his expression.
I don't want you to go home and think I'm doing those things with anyone else.
My mouth twisted, and I pulled up a long blade of grass. I don't want to think of you doing that with anyone else either.
What are we going to do?
I knew he was asking about more than just the obvious kissing, touching, boyfriend-girlfriend thing. He meant in a bigger sense, when our lives started existing more outside the closet or his roof, and when we had to satisfy ourselves with only 1 or 2 weekends a month together. I traced the lines of the tendons on the back of his left hand. With his right, he ran a finger slowly up and down my leg, from my knee to the midpoint of my thigh.
What's your favorite word?
I asked without looking up.
Ripe.
He answered, no hesitation, his voice low and hoarse. My blush exploded across my skin, a scorching trail of red that I felt lingering on my cheeks long after he gave up trying to catch my eye.
Yours.
I looked up at him, his hazel eyes wide and curious. Something wilder, barely contained in the dark ring of black around his irises. Beneath the surface, layered under the word, yours, there was something hungrier. Teeth on skin, fingernails, the sound of him growling my name.
Elliot was sexy. What boy our age used the word ripe? There was no one else in the world like him.
Epiphany,
I said quietly. He licked his lips, smiled. The something beneath the surface grew darker, more insistent.
That's a good one, too.
I stared down at his hand, smoothing the back with my thumb, and said, I think we should stop pretending we aren't together. When I looked back up, his smile grew.
I agree.
Good.
I'm going to kiss you goodbye,
he said. I tilted my face to him, saying,
good.
Again, as I felt his breath on my mouth, his hand cupping my jaw, my lips parted against his, and like before, it seemed natural to suck at his mouth, to let his tongue touch mine, to taste his sounds. His fingers slid into my hair, both hands now cupping my head, mouth urgent. And why did we do this out here, where we couldn't lie back and kiss until our mouths were numb and our bodies on fire? Even with this tiny touch, I ached. I wanted him over me again, wanted that last reminder of his weight and the hard presence of his need for me pressing between my legs. I let out a small, tight gasp, and he pulled back, eyes flickering back and forth between mine.
We'll take it slow,
he said. I don't want to take it slow.
That's the only way to make sure we do it right.
I nodded in his cupped hands, and he kissed me one more time.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Now, Thursday, November 23rd. Dez emerges from the bathroom, wiping his hands on his jeans as if he went in there for the usual reasons, and not to hide from the battle of the exes in the living room. He looks up with a bright smile that slowly melts as he realizes that Rachel is no longer with us.
Seriously?
He asks Elliot, who shrugs helplessly.
I don't know what to tell her,
Elliot says.
She said it would be fine, but clearly it wasn't.
Elliot turns and heads into the kitchen. I can tell that it bothers him that Rachel bolted, and I want to think that it's because he's a tender-hearted person, and not because he's worried he messed something up with her long term. But Jesus, who couldn't have seen that coming a mile away? He stands at the small range, bending to check on the turkey, and then leans with both hands on the sides of the stove, taking a few deep breaths. I meet Des's eyes, and he lifts his chin, telling me to go in there.
He's terrible at this shit.
Which throws me. I'm sure Dez is absolutely right here, but it's a rewiring I have to do to really believe it. Between the two of us, Elliot was always better at managing complicated emotions. Even though it's bright, with a huge window at one end, the kitchen feels tiny. I slide my hands up Elliot's back, feeling the muscles tense, and to his shoulders, kneading. The touch is so intimate, I know I can't lie to him much longer about Sean without looking like a game-playing tease. He looks over his shoulder at me, questioning. I'm sorry, I say. I feel like maybe I shouldn't have come. He turns to face me, leaning back against the stove.
I really want you here. That you were invited wasn't up for debate. She had the choice whether to come or not.
I know, but you've been friends with her a long time. Turning to the side, he stares out the window, his jaw tense as he thinks. His profile is so grown up. My brain still has an overwhelming number of young Elliot images. Looking at him now is like looking through a telescope into the future. It's so weird to be so close to him and imagine all the moments he's had without me.
We really do need to talk at some point,
he whispers. About Rachel? He scowls.
About all of it, Mace.
I know I need to hear what he has to say. And God, I owe him my story, too. But today is definitely not the day for another woman to melt down in his apartment. So, I say, just as quietly, mindful of Dez in the next room, let's find some time. Maybe after Andreas's wedding?
What?
He turns back to me, brows low.
That's a month away.
I think a month is good.
A shrill timer goes off on the counter, but we both ignore it. Elliot shakes his head a little.
We've already had 11 years. Timer.
Des calls from the living room. Since I have today off, I have to work on Christmas. I look past him at the fume hood above his stove. I'm taking 4 days at New Year's for the wedding, so I'm working almost every day between now and then, and I need time away from work to think how to unpack everything I have to tell him. About Sean, and the last night I saw Elliot 11 years ago, and everything that came after. Des leans into the kitchen and yells at us before ducking out again.
Oi, something's beeping.
Elliot reaches over, roughly silencing the noise with a slap of his hand. Returning to me, he ducks low, meeting my eyes, searching.
Macy, you know that I would make time any day for you. Any sliver of time I have is yours.
This truth, so easily given, paralyzes my instincts to pace myself, to take a breather between the end of my engagement and diving right back into Elliot. My first admission slips out. Sean and I broke up. I watch his pulse accelerate in his throat.
What?
I've just dropped a bomb from a cloud. It wasn't ever what I really want.
You left Sean.
I swallow down my urge to cry at the hope I see in his eyes. I moved out, yeah. Elliot's hand comes up to the front of my jeans, his index finger hooking just inside, sliding against my navel, and he uses the leverage to pull me closer.
Where?
I'm renting a room in the city. Blood rises to the surface of my skin, hungry for what I imagine is coming. His mouth lowering to mine, the overwhelming relief of it, the feel of his tongue sliding over my lip, the vibration of his sounds. I close my eyes, and for a second I give in to the fantasy, the glide of his hands up my shirt along my waist, the way it would feel for him to lift me, put me on the counter, step between my legs, and press closer. So I move back, shaking with the restraint. Remember what I said at Tilden, I began, about feeling so much with you? He nods, his gaze fixed on my mouth, breathing jagged. I don't want to rush into anything blindly. I swallow, wincing, especially not with you. We messed this up once. Blinking up to my eyes, his expression clears a little.
We did.
There's an intensity between us that has always been there. It used to make me trust that he's my person and I'm his. And now he's left his girlfriend for it. I've left my fiancé. But in truth, we've been back in touch for a single month after 11 years in the wilderness. His best friend in the other room is a stranger to me, and the woman who just left knows more about Elliot's heartbreak than I do. We are still so messy. Let's eat some turkey, I say, gently prying his finger from my jeans. It's going to take some work for me to put my words together, okay? Elliot slides his hand to my hip, murmuring,
Okay, of course, whatever you need.
I allow myself one intimate touch and use it to press my hand over his wildly beating heart. Then, 11 years ago. From Macy Leah Sorensen, mean Lilla Blomst at hotmail.com. Date, September 1st, 6:23 a.m. To Elliot P., elliverstravels@yahoo.com. Subject, miss you. Like crazy. From Elliot P., elliverstravels@yahoo.com. Date, September 1st, 6:52 a.m. To Macy Leah Sorensen, mean Lilla Blomst at hotmail.com. Subject, reply, miss you.
It's only been a few days, but I'm already wondering when you're coming back.
From Macy Leah Sorensen, mean Lilla Blomst at hotmail.com. Date, September 1st, 8:07 p.m. To Elliot P., elliverstravels@yahoo.com. Subject, reply, miss you. I think this weekend. I went over to Nikki's this afternoon, and Danny was there. They were playing video games and were having so much fun. And all I could think was that I wanted you to be there. From Macy Leah Sorensen. Mean Lily Blomst at hotmail.com. Date September 1st, 8:12 p.m. To Elliot P. Elivers Travels at yahoo.com. Subject, reply, miss you. Crap. Dad says we can't this weekend, but maybe the weekend after. School starts on Tuesday and he wants to get a few things done here this weekend. From Elliot P. Elivers Travels at yahoo.com. Date September 1st, 9:18 p.m. To Macy Leah Sorensen, mean Lila Blomst at hotmail.com. Subject, reply, miss you.
I think it's probably a good idea if we just try to keep our heads down during the week. It's going to be too hard otherwise. I'm going crazy.
From Macy Leah Sorensen, mean Lila Blomst at hotmail.com. Date September 1st, 9:22 p.m. To Elliot P. Elivers Travels at yahoo.com. Subject, reply, miss you. Do you think this is a bad idea, being together? My phone rang in my hand, Elliot's picture popping up on the screen. I had taken it only a week prior when he was standing on a mossy rock in the woods behind our houses and staring up at the trees, trying to identify a bird he'd seen. In the photo, the sun caught him in profile, accentuating his jaw and the definition of his chest beneath his shirt. My heart was pounding so hard, and when I answered, my voice came out thick. Hello?
Macy, no,
he said immediately.
That's not what I mean.
I nodded, staring at my wall and the glossy poster of a unicorn there, which I'd had since I was 8 and never bothered to take down. Okay.
I just mean,
he said quietly,
that we'll drive ourselves nuts emailing every 10 minutes every day of the week.
I sat down on my bed, kicking off my sneakers. You're right. Of course. It just feels different now. Scarier to be apart.
It's not different.
He seemed out of breath, like he was jogging upstairs.
We've always felt this way. I'm here, you're there. Just like before, we still belong to each other.
Okay.
And when you come up?
He said, and I heard a door close in the background.
We'll spend as much time together as we can.
I curled into my pillow, cupping the phone close. I just want to kiss you tonight, I whispered. I just want you here, beside me, kissing me. He groaned, and then went quiet, and my heart felt twisted inside my chest, aching.
Mace,
he said,
it's all I want to do, too.
We fell into silence then. And I wondered if he would let me fall asleep with him on the phone later. My hand slid beneath my shirt, feeling the warmth of my stomach, imagining his palm there.
It's only one more year that it has to be like this,
he said finally.
Think about that. We're graduating in the spring. Our lives won't be separate anymore. It will go by so fast. And then we can be together, for real.
Now, Sunday, December 31st.
I'm here.
I'll be right out. I step out of my room at the modest L&M motel and into the sharp glare of the winter sun on asphalt. Shielding my eyes with a hand, I manage to see Elliot only 10 feet away, leaning against the driver's side door and holding a small bouquet of scraggly wildflowers. I'm immediately reminded of every teen romance hero at the sight of him straightening, staring. After 37 days, my eyes are thirsty too, chugging down every inch of what he looks like in a tux. His hair neatly combed, face smooth with a close shave. We've texted a few times since Thanksgiving and talked on the phone a little bit here and there when I had a question about the attire for the wedding, or when he wanted to check to see where to pick me up today. But I haven't seen him since he bent to kiss my cheek at his front door, our bellies full of turkey and wine, and looked at me meaningfully for 3 quiet breaths.
Give me a chance,
he'd said. I'd promised I would. The question was whether he'd still want one once he heard what I had to say. I celebrated my Christmas on December 22nd with Sabrina, Dave, and Viv. Just watching them from a kitchen stool, sipping my wine, it was easy to see their rituals taking shape.
The Canadian Brass Christmas album played on a loop. Dave baked up a store's worth of Christmas cookies. Sabrina went to the living room, stringing tiny white lights.